Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Our reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, which you may find starting on page 914 of your pew Bible. First, let us join our hearts in prayer. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
It's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. And in our text today that Scott just read for us, we meet Jairus, a wealthy leader of the synagogue who is also a father of a little girl, a daughter, who is at the point of death. So he goes to Jesus, he makes his way to our Lord, and he falls on his knees, and he begs him to come and help his little girl. And I'll never forget a few years ago when my mother was having a very serious surgery, and I went to the hospital to be by her side, and my father was over in the corner of the room, noticeably concerned, when all of a sudden their pastor walked in the door. And I'll never forget what my mother said. She said, "Oh God, thanks be to Jesus, you're here. Please pray for him. He's driving me crazy." Well, of course, us dads, us parents, we get weak. We get noticeably concerned. A little weak in the knees when something happens to our family. Our spouses, our children, our parents. They're our whole life. And unfortunately, I have had to make that walk with a young family, with people, with parents who have lost a child. I can't imagine anything worse. And that is why I wasn't surprised, but that is why I was so appreciative when I heard Lin-Manuel Miranda put in his musical, Hamilton, that moment when Hamilton and his wife are facing the unimaginable, and he sings, "And I pray." That never used to happen before. Jairus' love for his daughter has made him desperate. My father also used to talk to me about a time when he felt desperate. You see, my oldest brother, James, he was in a terrible motorcycle accident when he was still in college at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, which was 3.5 hours away from us. I was a teenager at the time, but I remember my dad telling that story over and over again of how he made that trip in 2 hours flat, of how he was praying to God that he would get to his son soon, how he was praying to God that he would not get a speeding ticket, how he was praying the whole way, talking to God the whole way, and how when he got to the hospital, the nurses weren't going to let him into the ER, but he insisted that he get to see his son. When a child is in danger, we get desperate, when any child is. And it can bring us to our knees. And that's exactly where we find this father, Jairus, in our text today. Jairus, a father whose little girl is at the point of death, and he himself, he is at a point of losing all control. And so with nowhere else to turn, he turns to Jesus. He throws himself at the feet of a stranger who has even stranger power, and he begs him for help. The only faith that Jairus is depending on in this moment is the faith of what he has heard from others about this man. That if this man, Jesus, can help, will he help? And Mark tells us that without hesitation, Jesus goes with him. But they don't get very far, do they? There is another story that collides with this one. It is another story of desperation, a story of an unnamed woman who also seeks out the Lord for help. And the reason we meet her in this story is because she is also at a point of death, a living death. Because living for 12 years with this uncontrollable condition, which has labeled her impure in the eyes of her community, no doubt by a local leadership of men, she is also in a desperate place. And what we do know about her is that she has some kind of medical condition, some kind of medical condition that no amount of money and no amount of doctors are able to help. And so she also has nowhere else to turn. So she turns to Jesus. A strange man with even stranger power, whom she has only heard stories about from others. But this woman's faith takes her all the way to him, even to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. I wonder if Jairus knew this woman, or at least the part of her story that made sense to him, that she was unclean and unable to participate in his church, that he himself could not be helpful to her. And so I wonder how he would have heard Jesus' words. I wonder how he would have seen Jesus' actions towards her, how he would have heard Jesus' words when he names her daughter. I mean, both of these people, they are in desperate places. They are in their deepest needs, and both of them are equally important to Jesus. So important, so, that he names the woman daughter. And this daughter of our Lord, she teaches this father an important lesson, that in the eyes of God, we are all God's children. And she also teaches him another really important faith lesson. A lesson that says, faith doesn't follow us. We follow it. See, at the beginning of the story, Jesus is following Jairus to his house, but then he stops. He stops and says, "Who touched me?" Jesus knows that this power has left him. He felt it move through his body. He wanted to know who it is. And so when he sees this woman face to face, he says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith." Her faith has made her well. He points not only to this woman, but he points to her faith. And at this point in the story, Jairus' friends are all running up to him saying, "Don't bother. It's too late. Don't trouble the teacher any longer. Just give up and come bury your little girl." And Jesus has only one message for him. Stop being afraid and keep on believing. He says, keep on believing. In his desperate place, keep on believing. He says, believe in the faith that you have seen this woman show in me. A faith that she is showing you right now. A faith that you too can have. So keep believing in that kind of faith. That no matter how much the world says, don't bother, it's too late, just keep on keeping on. Don't be afraid. Because not only does it have the power to get your daughter through this, it may just have the power to get you through this. Friends, when we reach out for help, which is a hard decision to make, we have to be vulnerable enough to trust that help. We have to trust that the healing touch of Christ will find us and lead us through it. And following Jesus all the way through the pains of life, following Jesus all the way through the shadows of doubt, following Jesus, keeping on, well, following our faith wherever Jesus may take us, no matter how scary that might be, I trust healing will be found, or rather, it will find us. And I trust that it will lead us to a more hopeful place. Annie Lamott says, "I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us." So we have to stop being afraid and keep on keeping on. We need to keep on believing in the faith that that has brought us this far, and keep reaching out to others who help us to keep the faith. We have to stay true to ourselves and stay true to each other, stay true to our calling, stay true to our Lord. And that's not a lesson just for today. That's a lesson for each and every day. And Jesus named this unnamed woman daughter to remind us that we are all God's children. And he points to her faith to tell us we're going to need faithful people like her to teach us to reach out for help. For there is healing when we reach out. And so as a pastor whose primary calling here at Village Church is to care for people, to care for all of you lovely people, I know how hard it is to ask for help. Because I know if I needed help, I would be the stubbornest person on earth. So stubborn that when I was writing this sermon and the spell check kept telling me stubbornness wasn't a word, I used it anyway. I mean, that's pretty stubborn. Asking for help can be hard. But accepting help can even be harder. But what I have learned along the way, what I keep trusting all the way through it, is that there is some kind of holy healing in doing so. Every day can be hard. And today, in these days, it is hard not to see how much healing our world is in need of. And I also believe that in these days, there are healing times. And so I want to tell you about a moment that I got to see a great healing. You may have seen it, but if you didn't, I want to make sure you didn't miss it, okay? So each year at the Tony Awards, which was last Sunday, the Broadway community acknowledges and honors a theater teacher with an Excellence in Theater Education Award. This year, it went to the theater teacher of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Her name is Melody Hirschfeld. As all of us remember what happened on that horrific Valentine's Day when a former student returned to school, to that school, and shot 17 of his peers. Miss Hirschfeld was a woman of valor on that day. When she saved 65 of her students' lives and her own life by sheltering them in her office for hours. On Sunday, when she received her award, Miss Hirschfeld shared some of her memories about that terrifying day. She said, "I remember on February 7th, sharing a circle with my beloved students and encouraging them to be good to each other when times were trying, and to keep the family together. Accept everyone and make a difference." And I remember only a week later, on February 14th, a perfect day, she says, when all these lessons in my life and in their short lives would be called upon to set into action. To set into action, letting the stronger be our collective voice and supporting the rest that needed time. When news was announced that Ms. Hirschfeld would receive the award 2 weeks prior to the show, news that she had to keep to herself for well over a month, Ms. Hirschfeld reflected, "It was like Christmas in our room." And finally seeing these kids with some real true joy on their faces, it was as though they all had been given this honor, this amazing honor, too. These kids just keep on keeping on in their faith journey, in what will probably be remembered in their lives as one of the most terrifying and desperate days. And last Sunday, we got to see just a little bit of healing hope that happened for Mrs. Hirschfeld's students. And if you missed it, I want you to make sure you have seen it. because you could see it on all these students' faces the minute the curtain rose and we heard these few chords of music. I just loved watching Bruce grooving to the message that they were sending on that stage, didn't you? Or that woman who was holding her chest, or holding her heart, to make sure she would never forget that moment in her life. But that is a moment of healing hope for these kids. A season of healing love for these kids. And all because they were taught by a wonderful teacher not to only use their gifts and their voice for playing on a stage, but to use it to make a difference in the world. And so later, in an interview that Miss Hirschfeld said, every piece of beautiful theater is truth. And I think that when a child or a student that is 14 to 18 years old is given permission to tell their truth, they'll sing it from the top of the car or from the top of the roof. And Mrs. Hirschfeld, I would add that your students on that stage were singing from the top of a mountain. We are all going to find ourselves in desperate times and in desperate places. Just like Jairus, and just like this unnamed woman who Jesus named daughter. And in those desperate times, in those desperate places, faith really does matter. There is nothing more unimaginable than the death of a child, or even a child at the point of death. Any child at risk of being in danger, any child in fear of being ripped away from their family, any child who is reaching out for our help and our love. And sometimes we hear it, and sometimes we miss it. And that can be just the harsh reality. And that kind of desperation will reach all of us. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, it will reach all of us. And we will find ourselves with nowhere else to turn but to turn to our risen Lord. Because faith in Him makes a difference. It is a season of love that goes on and on and on for generation to generation. And in those times when we choose to not be afraid, which we're going to have to choose to not be afraid, well, that's when we keep on keeping on. And so we have to trust in the faith that has brought us this far, because faith doesn't follow us. We follow Him. We follow Jesus, who shows us that faith matters. Because the mystery of God's love is that Jesus is going to meet us in those desperate places, but never leave us there. And so step by step, we make our way to our Lord, the one who lifts us from the darkness of despair and into hope, the one who shows us how to keep on keeping on. And there will be healing, my friends, on our journey together. Healing that finds us and claims us and calls us daughter and son, mother and father, members of God's heavenly kingdom. And so, my friends, keep on keeping on. When the world says don't bother, let us pray that we keep on keeping on. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.